Hallelujah. Let's clap unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's here. We welcome you, Jesus. We welcome you. And before you're seated, what an honor to be in the presence of one of the greatest men, our King Priest, Dr. Bill Winston. Wow. And I hope I'll get to meet Pastor Veronica tonight and to get to know. But you know, a lot of times we read about great people and we wish we knew them. We read about all the different people that have gone before, the Smith Wigglesworths, et cetera, et cetera. But it's good when you're alive and you meet one alive. So it's my privilege to know Dr. Bill personally. And what an honor to be in this great room with some of the greatest leaders of the world. God bless you. God bless you. Let's clap unto the King. Hallelujah. Please be seated. And we did bring some products. 2013, the year of increase. In the Hebrew, it's Ayin Gimel. Camels are coming, resources are coming. And God told me to prepare the people for increase, because it's one thing to declare the prophetic, but it's another thing to prepare yourself for it. Because if you're really serious about increase, what are you doing about the structure of your church? What are you doing about the structure of your company? Increase is not just a wish. It is a strategic path that you have to take. And it begins first in the mind. God cannot increase us beyond our mental capacity. He cannot increase us beyond our spiritual capacity. And so when you know it, because this is the season, and you declare it, then God will give you the revelation so that you can achieve it. And so this is to prepare us for increase, because I believe God is going to do some amazing things through the church. The church shall be the greatest entity on earth, and every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And then I'm going to be talking a little bit about this. It's three series in this. The anointing of King Cyrus. I call it the solutionist anointing. And it talks about, so I'm going to talk a little bit about him, but the entire series, three series on how to God is looking for solutionists, how to be blessed so that you can be a blessing, and how to move into the place of unlimited possibilities. It was such a great thing to hear King David Stewart talking about what we're sharing, and he has gone to the next level. And when you look at him, you realize there is a realm of unlimited possibilities. There is a realm. Few people go there and achieve it. Many of us watch it and we hear about it, but we can now step into it because God is looking for you. I love what he has done with Dave Stewart, because Dave Stewart gives him back the glory. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about. And in the book, End Time Release and Increase, Warfare Prayers, a $5 book that plunged us. The enemy tried to split our church about 15 years ago. Instead of splitting it, it doubled it, and 1,000 people were added in 3 months. We started with 10 people, and then the enemy came in when we were about 1,500, and I put my face to the wall. Declared that the Lord God was greater than whatever level of demonic power. And instead of the split, we really had 1,000 people added in 3 months. So the enemy did us a favor. Whatever Satan meant for evil, God turns around for good. And the book End Time Release and Increase is what I was operating by accident. Didn't know I was doing it. Calling those things that aren't as though they were, declaring things, not knowing what was happening, but some unusual things begin to happen in our lives. With a heart of wanting to help children and youth, I would declare things and things will happen. I got fed up at the theater industry and the entertainment industry because of all the corruption and the perversion. I declared, you know what, I'm going to create my own theater. And then months later, Quincy Jones' lawyers came to our church, and the secretary for Barry Gordy came again to our church, and the producer of The Lion King came and began to create things. And I realized that there is a realm where literally all things are possible. You create by what you say, and you achieve by what you believe. And so it's all here, and the whole package here is just for $60 so that God can take us to the next level, because God is really fixing to exalt His church as never before. And so we are positioned for it. So just let's lift our hands before the Lord. Father, we bless you tonight. We worship you tonight. We thank you you're down. We thank you you're here. And we thank you, God, that you're taking us from revelation to revelation, from power to power, from glory to glory. We sit at your feet, Holy Spirit. Do what you want to do in our day and do it through us. We volunteer that you would use us for your glory. You have a specific work that you want to do in a specific time. It's not business as usual. So we yield ourselves and we acquiesce to you that we're willing to cast away the old to step into the new. We want to flow with you. We're not going to die in a wilderness. We want to possess our land, physical land, not spiritual, but physical land in Jesus' name. So we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 19, 6, God said to Moses, tell the people that you will be for me a kingdom of priests, operating in a double power anointing. Not just priest, not just king, but that double anointing. And then he says, you will be a holy nation, in other words, devoted to me, special. Tell the Israelites this. And of course, God said it again in Peter, and he said it again in Revelations, that there is that king-priest anointing. And even as we're here at this conference, we see it operating. Romans 8:22 says, we know that the whole creation is groaning and laboring with birth pangs until now. There is something that is missing that they quite put their finger on. Something the world is looking for. The bigger the house is, the more depressed. The greater the fame is, the more depression. There is something that they can't understand. And we're watching someone like a Justin Bieber, who God has blessed and started with the Christian Foundation. And now at the level, there's implosion starting to happen. There's something that is elusive about fame. There's something that is elusive. Romans 8:19 says, creation is waiting in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. They're looking for you and me. They want something. And tonight we're going to talk about this solutionist anointing, the anointing that God is going to fill his church with so that we can be what they're looking for. And so Isaiah 44 verse 28, God called a man called Cyrus. And he says, he is my shepherd. Shepherd. That is a strong word. He will accomplish what I speak. He will accomplish what I please. He will accomplish what I want. I'm going to make this man so powerful that whatever he say, I perform. He will say of Jerusalem, let it be built, and I will do it. He will say, let its foundations be laid, and I will do it. Incredible power. It's the same kind of power that God came down in Moses. He says, Moses, I'm going to send you before Pharaoh, and I am going to give you a message for Pharaoh. And Moses says, what's the message? Simple. Let my people go. But Moses is saying, but God, you know that I'm a fugitive. You know that I'm a murderer. And I mean, Pharaoh has a mighty army. Pharaoh has a lot of soldiers. But Moses, your word, the word of the Lord, is more powerful than an army. I'm going to use you to prove that one man can take out an entire army. I'm going to use you, Moses, to prove that just one man. I'm not going to give you a sword. I'm not going to give you a gun. I'm not going to give you anything but the word of the Lord. I'm going to give you such power, such glory, and such authority that when they read about you, they're going to say, how could one man take out an entire great army of Egypt and bankrupt the nation? What kind of a power? What kind of an anointing is that? I just came back on Saturday from Asia from a three-week journey, and I was in Jakarta and Singapore and different places, and Jakarta has been having a lot of floods. And so we have a network there, and they emailed and they said, please pray for us. And then I got a call, please pray for us. The floods are coming again. And I read CNN, and it says the floods in Jakarta has literally paralyzed the city. It has washed away human waste, and it has gone even into the presidential palace. God said to me that the flood is a sign of revival that is coming to this world. It's gonna flood and wash away some debris. It's gonna go from the streets, it's gonna go to the business district, and it's gonna go into the presidential palace. God says nothing can stop this flood. God says, I have been proving how powerful nature is. Regardless of how powerful our presidents and regardless of how powerful our money is, nature forces us to bow. Nature can cripple us financially in one switch. Nature can shut down the education system. Nation can shut down perverted companies. Nation can make the government crawl on their knees. That's just nature. God says, I'm showing the world how powerful nature is for them to realize that they're not as powerful as they think they are, because there is a greater power. Because Pharaoh is mighty, but God is almighty. There are kings on the earth, but I am the King of Kings. There are lords on the earth, but I am the Lord of Lords. And I'm fixing, and I've come down with the Moses anointing in my church to make knees bow, economics bow, agriculture bow, Pharaoh's bow, and confess that I am the Most High. I have come down to fix some things. Men have been trying to fix some things, but I am just laughing, because the Bible says the Lord laughs at the enemy. All these groups that are rising up in power, and they seem like they're making their way, and they're changing our laws, and they're perverting our system. God says, I laugh. The king sits in the heavens and laughs, because just nature alone can paralyze them, but they have not seen the hand of God yet. But now I have come down, because this world need to see the hand of God again. And people of God, if you are the least of the least in this place, you qualify to be a Moses. You qualify to be an Esther. You qualify to be a Ruth. You qualify so that God can use you again. And he will give you the word of the Lord, that as you speak, God says, I will perform it in the name of Jesus. God says, I'm going to choose a man called Cyrus, because you know what? I want to make a mockery of principalities. I want to make a mockery of principalities. So I'm going to choose the least. Moses said, but God, I can't speak. He said, that's why you qualify. But I'm a murderer. That's why you qualify. But Pharaoh will kill me. That's why you qualify, Moses. But you don't know what I'm doing. That's why you qualify. I'm going to use someone like you. And by the time I finish, Pharaoh is going to be insane. He's going to walk and talk to himself. And all his armies can come against you. And he will say, there is no God like Jehovah. I am looking for a Moses. I'm looking for a Cyrus. I'm looking for an orphan. I'm looking for somebody that will make me glorify. So God says, Cyrus, he will be my shepherd. What does shepherd mean? In other words, he's going to be caring for my people. And I will give him power. Isaiah 45:4, just turn this thing around. He said, for Jacob my servant's sake, for Israel my elect's sake, I'm going to call you Cyrus by your name. He says, as a matter of fact, I have named you, even though you don't know me. But I am so God that you don't even have to believe in me. I will use you for my benefits, because I am God. Because quite frankly, sometimes I'm trying to find a believer and I just can't find any, because they're so spiritual, they can't do any earthly good. So I have to go outside my church to find somebody that I can use for my glory. And when I read this, I said, please don't do that again, any God. I am ready for you to use me for your glory. I'm ready to cast down vain imagination. I'm ready to stop the churchianity thing. I'm ready to advance the kingdom of God. If you're looking for somebody, oh God, look no more. Pat Francis is here. I volunteer. called the solutionist anointing. So Isaiah 45 verse 1 to 3 says, thus said the Lord to his anointed. This is the man that don't know him, but that's okay. I anointed a donkey to prophesy. I anointed a vulture to feed my servant. I am God. I can use an atheist, and by the time I finish with him, he is my servant. And if he doesn't want to get saved and go to hell, it's okay with me. But my purpose will stand. So he says, he's my anointed. Cyrus, my shepherd. I'm going to let him take care of my sheep. I am going to let him take care of my kingdom. He says, I'm going to take hold of his right hand, and I'm going to give him a sevenfold anointing, because I will make this man great to make my kingdom great. I will prosper this man to prosper my kingdom. I will be God to him so that he can be God with me. I mean, it's an amazing partnership that God did. He says he's my anointed. He said, I'm going to take hold of his right hand. I'm saying, God, what does that mean? Because this was the anointing I sought for. And this was the anointing I got. Very specific. I knew, and it's amazing, I would look and I would see kings like King Josiah. And he would say, I am the son of David. David wasn't his biological father. But Josiah chose that, I don't want the anointing of my biological father. Josiah, who you want to be? I want to be like King David. And he began to name it, and he became like King David. I begin to name it, I want the Cyrus anointing. This is the specific, because I want to be a solution for poverty. I want the ability to rescue people out of slavery. Hallelujah. It's a special anointing. So he says, I will anoint you. I'll take your right hand. And I say, God, why do you take his right hand? And God began to make me realize that when you're walking in a mall or a large place and you have a child with you, you tend to hold on to their hand. You give them liberty, but you hold on to the hand because they're so valuable to you that you have to keep them close. God says, the anointing that I'm going to give you, you're going to be so valuable to me that I have to hold on to your right hand, because I cannot afford that there's even too much of a distance between us. People of God, God is looking to hold on to your right hand. In other words, ownership. In other words, you're not your own. You're now his. And if you're willing, he will get hold of that right hand, and he will give you a sevenfold anointing that will make knees bow and tongue confess that your God is the Most High. If you're ready for another level, just lift up your right hand tonight, because God is looking. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord is running to and fro throughout the earth to find the ones whose heart is perfected, so that he can bless us with unlimited blessing. Let's lift up our hand and say, God, we are ready. Say, God, I'm ready. Another level. Another level. More glory. Greater purpose. Greater authority. For your kingdom's sake. I'm ready, God. I'm not playing church. I am the church. I'm not playing kingdom. I carry the kingdom. The kingdom comes wherever I am. I am ready. Come on, hold up that right hand and let's begin to pray in the spirit right now. Out of your belly, it's going to flow rivers of living water. Multiple solutions, multiple business. Growth, growth, growth. God says, Moses, inside of you is a deliverer. Come on, Esther, come on. Inside of you is a queen. Come on, girl. Come on, Ruth. You're a Moabitess. But by the time I'm finished with you, my son is going to come out of you. Robesi, we're talking about unlimited possibilities. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I'm saying that God is fixing to do some things that you can't even imagine yet. Come on, girl. Come on, Rahab.
you. I'm going to change you with my anointing. Come on, stir it up, stir it up. Come on, God is down. I said God is down. This is a new season for the church. This is a new level of authority. This is a new level of power. As you speak, God will perform. Are you hearing what I'm saying? As you speak, God will perform. It is a new level. It is the Moses anointing. It is the Cyrus anointing. We're going to change our society. Ramonde kariyada bakasha. Hallelujah. We're ready, God. We're ready. We mean business. We're serious. We're not joking. Remesati yadabaka. He says, I have hold of your right hand. We're talking about the sevenfold anointing. He says, number one, I will anoint you. In Isaiah 45, verse 1 to 3, he says, I will anoint you to subdue nations. David Stewart talked about a little 4,000 square feet business that is now over $5 billion and globally. It's anointing. And I'm glad that he gave God the glory. I'm glad that God is using them, because that's exactly what I'm saying. Because God, we thank God for Bill Gates, praise the Lord. We thank God that he's doing such great humanitarian work, praise the Lord. But God says he's going to raise up people now that's going to do the same, but going to give him the glory. Are you understanding where God wants to go? So he says he will subdue nations before you, literally. He will give you nations. And I'm seeing that God is literally doing that. I mean, the church is changing. Literally changing. While I was in Jakarta, I got an email from a developing nation that we're working with. And the apostle said, Pastor Pat, please, you came here, you stir up the whole nation. I was on the radio. And the people are now ready to surrender their land to you. They're asking you to come and help them to mine their gold. And to help them so that they're not plundered anymore by foreigners. They have been looking for someone to trust. And they have chosen to trust you. Tell me what to tell the people. And I'm saying, and I sent out my email to my company directors, and I said, but I didn't want to get into commodities anymore. I thought we weren't going to go there anymore. What do you think? And they said, yes, we understand. We won't go there anymore. And then my translator, a young man of 26, and before I said, young, I said, you know, son, we're going to work together and translate. So you have to have my anointing. And so we have to flow with this, you know, and you have to be passionate. And, you know, and so let me release you in this anointing. And while I'm praying, God said, look at him, look at him. And I said, wow. I've always taught that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. When you're open for another level, God will give you a teacher. And so this young man, he says, Dr. Patty, I wanted to, you know, be your translator, and I've watched you for a long time. And he began to tell us this testimony. Because he was a super kid, so at 14, he was progressed above his age. And so he called his mom, because he was in school in America, called his mom home in Indonesia and said, Mom, I had a dream that God has given me gold. And the mom says, you know, whatever. And he got another dream, and he says, Mom, at a 16 now, God has given me gold. And she said, whatever. And then he had another dream, and he says, Mom, this time God says, I'm giving you gold because I want you to advance the kingdom. Mother said, that's it, you got it. A few years ago, he says, just like what's happening to me, a whole village with acres and acres of gold came to the family, and they decide that they're going to ask the tribal people. And he showed me the process of how to work with the tribal people. 5,000 hectares of land. He is now mining gold without little bit of money down. And in addition to that, he can hire 5,000 people on the job. He says, Dr. Pat, don't say no. We will help you, because we did it. And we did it without very little down payment. We can show show you how. So don't say no. I'm so excited because we did it in Indonesia and now we can do it in that nation. When you're ready and serious, there's a teacher coming to your way. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You put up your hand, it means you're ready for the next level. For you're ready for the next level. God is going to show you how. Because when you're serious about it, God has been looking for you. He's looking for some people in the church who is not just praise the Lord, hallelujah, and ready to jig, and ready, hiya, 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 hiya. He's looking for people that is ready to transform nation. He's looking for people who is ready for global influence. You can jig, and you can shake, and you still die poor. God says no more of that churchianity. We're going to jig and shake after he prospers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're going to have the real thing. We want the real thing. God will give you the power literally to subdue nation. When I was in that nation last year, and I talked to all, there was the, all the heads of the denominations were there. And after 3 days, one of the heads said, You've crushed me. The driver said, you've crushed my pastor. I said, how do you mean? That's a negative thing. He said, no, all that he has been teaching all these years, it's totally crushed. Now he has to go back and read the Bible again through kingdom eyes. I said, look, this place is full of gold and silver. And if I have to stand up here to teach you people if it's a sin to wear gold, and if it's a sin for women to preach, and if a sin for women to wear pants, if I have to get into that, then you're not ready for gold mines. And that's the problem with the church. We're still fiddling with all these little foolish things when God is ready to give us global influence. He's ready to give you a gold mine. He's ready to transfer the wealth of the world to the church. And the church is so narrow-minded that God has to go outside of the church to do something. But in the name of Jesus, we're saying, God, no, we are ready. Come on, say, God, I'm ready. Come on, say, I'm ready. I'm ready. The power of God, the flood of revival is so powerful that denominational foolishness not stopping it again. Understand what I'm saying? If you don't move out of the flood, he drowns you. So by God's grace, we have the head of the United Church. We have the head of the Assemblies of God. And we have the head of the Independents. We're all saying, Pat Francis, let's come and let's really see how we can transform a nation. Because now even denominations are going to bow. And all these denominations that have been keeping people in bondage with their religious thinking, God says, I'm going to shift. I'm going to retire some people. I'm going to kill off some people. You hear what I'm saying? Because the floods of Bible is gonna sweep through. It's a kingdom message. The message of the kingdom will be preached in preparation for my return. It's not just a message of salvation, but it's a message of kingdom, because the floods are gonna come out of the church, but it's gonna go in the marketplace, right into the presidential palace. And I will make that knee bow, and I will make that confess that Jesus Christ is the Most High. And you don't have to sell your soul for votes, but there's a bigger vote. When the king is for you, nobody can remove you. Look to Daniel. He never bowed. The kingdom of darkness bowed. And so we don't have to sell out our soul to the world. God says, I will flood you with my glory. Come on, lift up that hand and say, God, I'm ready. I'm ready. God says, I've hold on to your hand and I'm anointed you to subdue nation. Number two, I will anoint you to loose the armor of kings. Many times I say, God, what's wrong with me? I'd like to go to a nation and speak a nice message. But no, every time I step on the pulpit, I find myself dealing with principalities and powers and rulers and spiritual darkness. He says, because I've anointed you to loose the armors of king. Come on, church. You have the power power now to speak to Pharaoh and say, I say to you, let my people go. And if he resists you 10 times, keep saying it 10 times until that demonic spirit bow. What am I saying? I'm saying the demon that is in your house, this is the last night in the name of Jesus. We're not playing with it anymore. We're not sleeping with it anymore. We're not putting up with it anymore. I said, Pharaoh, you're coming out of the house. You're coming out of this church. You're coming out of my business. Come on, kingdom enforcer. Let's declare, I'm a kingdom enforcer. Come on, say it. I'm a kingdom enforcer. The Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Rabba sateta. Whatever your giant is, whatever his name is, you're not playing anymore. Get out of my life. Come on, open up the door. Get out of this house in the name of Jesus. You Jezebel, get out of my church. I'm not living with you anymore. I'm a kingdom enforcer. God has given me power over my enemies. This man Cyrus was so powerful that by the evening, if he look at a nation, the king, many kings just say, okay, Cyrus, we give up. Because they know he was unbeatable. He looked into Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar says, Cyrus, you can't come in Babylon. But you can't stop a man who is anointed by God with a shepherd anointing. And God is holding his right hand. Nebuchadnezzar, you will bow. Nevertheless, Cyrus conquered the Medes, the Persia. He conquered Babylon. Daniel served under this man, and this man was a shepherd. Every nation he conquered, they called him father. He was the one that restored the Jews, took them out of exile, brought them back into Jerusalem. Then he told them, build the temple. He took out his first offering. He says, I will give of my own treasuries. He said, pray for my family. So he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't a Jew, but he feared God. And so whatever God, he feared God. So he says, God of the Jews, you bless me. I don't know you, but bless me. And I want to give you money. I want to give you treasures. I'm going to, as a matter of fact, I'm going to go back to Egypt. And I'm going to go back to Babylon. And I'm going to restore everything that Nebuchadnezzar stolen. Hear what I'm saying. Everything that has been stolen from you, all the loss in your life, this is payback time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The Cyrus anointing is going to give you back your money. And I'm not talking spiritual. I'm talking tangible. Write down how much money you lost. God, after Cyrus said you're going to get back every red cent with increase. God is an accountant. He's compound interest. Are you hearing? You lost your children. I said they're coming back. You lost your health. We're taking it back. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody help me here. Let's pray in the spirit. I said payback time. Payback time. Come on, payback time. I said, Pharaoh, let my people go. He's going to give you the power. Spiritual warfare at another level. I said spiritual warfare at another level. The church has been binding and loosing, and the same people have the demons over and over again. God says no more playing with demons just for show. You're going to have power. This time, Goliath is going to die. This time, Jezebel is going to be splattered. This, are you hearing what I'm saying? Come on, people. Mammon is going to bow. Poverty is going to bow. My church shall not die poor. Rabakasana, come on, people. We're going to break some generational things tonight. Generational poverty. It's time. It's time for the church, people. God's church. His bride. His bride. His bride. It's time for the bride to rise in its glory. Come on, let's pray in the spirit. Ramande. Ramande Ramasande. Jesus is weeping for his bride. The enemy lied to us. We think poverty is humility. We think poverty. spirituality. Come on, my bride. Why would you think I'm a husband and I mistreat you? And even normal men know how to treat good wives. What kind of God do you think I am? Who bewitched you? Who bewitched my bride? Why is it so hard to teach on prosperity? Why is it so hard for my bride to know the love of a God who loves them? Where did they get the teaching from? What chapter? What verse? I took my people out of slavery. I gave them land. I blessed them. I gave them silver. I gave them gold. I gave them copper. I blessed them, church. Where did you get this from? Even in the natural, when you look at a man's wife, you can tell what kind of man he is. You look at a man's wife and she can't even dress good, and she look like the maid, and she look this, you know what kind of stingy wretch that is. And God says, what are you making me out to be? You're my bride. You're not making me look good. And because of that, the world don't want me. Rabakashara, come on, let's get rid of this thing right now. And if you have ever cursed prosperity, if you have ever cursed rich people, repent now, because God says he has got to heal his bride, because out of your own mouth you have cursed yourself. It's a serious curse. Whenever I travel and I'm teaching the message of the kingdom, I get so much resistance against missionaries. I was in South Korea teaching about how God wants to prosper his people. And there was this white missionary sitting at the front. This speaker, another speaker. And I noticed she's crawled up on the floor. And I said, it's so good that she's interceding for me. And then we went to the luncheon table and she attacked me. She said, Pat Francis, what are you talking about prosperity? The last thing these people need is prosperity. I have thousands and thousands of orphans, and I am proud to say I sleep under the stars with them. And they are happy. And I don't want you to pollute them with this kind of thing. And I'm looking at her and I'm saying, wow, so you're my enemy. It's your spirit I've come here to crush. And so the host of the conference was a little bit embarrassed, because the host of the conference for years, I've been having all these people come for years and years and years to the conference. And this man had had a vow of poverty. And when I taught on covenant wealth, the other speaker said, Dr. Pat, speak to him because he doesn't have a house. Speak to him. He doesn't have a house. And I'm saying, well, why am I speaking to them? You know, all the other apostles and all the other bishops and everybody is here. I'm not getting involved with this. But you know what? I felt a connection with him, and they kept on, and they brought all the different business leaders to meet with me privately, and so we had lunch, and he shares this testimony all over the world. His name is Dr. Hung. It's his greatest testimony. He says, call my name. I want to get up and share it myself. I travel with you and share it myself. And I said to him, but why have you not owned a house? He says, because it's part of what we do. We give up all to serve Jesus. And I said, so help me to understand this. Are you saying the God that owned the entire planet will feel a way if you have a little piece of land and dirt? He said, but it's the principle. I said, the principle of what? I said, you have two sons, right? He says, oh, I have sons. I said, you send them away and brought for the best schools, yes? I said, then you have no concept then of your father's love for you? You would deny him the pleasure of wanting to bless you? I said, what kind of father is that? I said, don't you think you're a workhorse? That you have to deny yourself? Well, what next? You're going to go on a cross? I said, you're denying your father pleasure. He owns it all. What we don't have, Satan have. He wants his church to own all the property. Never mind a little piece. So we're acquiring property all over and over. So now we have to talk about. And all of a sudden, tears. And he said, Dr. Pat, I've never heard it. I've never understood it. And that night, I did something that I normally do because I normally don't do this. But I said, you know what? Everybody, now we're talking about acquiring property. And I told them about the home acquisition program that we did in our church where poor people began to own home en masse, over 200 homes. And just a strategic plan where God says, take the people out of poverty by getting them into home ownership. So we started that program. And so everybody in the congregation now were saying, okay, I guess it's okay. And one of the men there who his family assets is over $1 billion, he came to me and said, Dr. Pat, you've taken away the shame. Because I don't feel comfortable in the church because I can't get up and share that I just made $1 million because they make me feel like I sinned. But he says, no more. He says, I'm gonna press through because I'm a kingdom enforcer and I want money for the kingdom's sake. And so I'm not gonna be hiding behind church people because church people love poverty. And so we're sharing it. And that night I said, you know, let's deal with this apostle here. Let's get him in a house first, and then everybody else will go because you know it has to flow. And so we started this thing. We collected $200,000 for him. And then I was to fly out the next in 2 days. So I went to one of the deacon, a businessman. I said, I don't want any church people. I don't want any board people. I don't want any foolishness. I said, I would like you to take care of Dr. Hung. He's my brother now. Take care of his home acquisition plan for me. And you start it off and you get the condo and everything because he won't follow through. Take care of the man of God. The next day, Dr. Hung called me and said, Dr. Pat, did you hear what happened? Somebody gave me a condo that's worth $800,000 last night. So in addition to that, he got the condo for $800,000. And then he got the cash of over $200,000. That was waiting for him all along as a potential. But until your mind goes there, it is locked up there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what is locked away for you, God is waiting you to step up to the plate. Come on, lift up that right hand to God and say, God, I'm stepping up to the plate. I'm stepping up to the plate. We're going to loose the armor of kings, which means break down principalities and powers and religious demons than poverty that has been keeping the church in poverty. I mean, we train our people to get up and share testimonies to exalt poverty all the time. Sister Josephine, come up. Praise the Lord. Do I hear praise the Lord? Praise the Lord again. Praise the Lord. Like, get on with your testimony. You know what I'm saying? You're wasting time here. I hear you say that, you know, I didn't have any money. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Do I hear an amen? But God sent somebody and they gave me money and now I can pay the rent. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And everybody jump up. Now, we can go through times of loss. We can go through times of lack. 10 years later, Sister Josephine has the same testimony. She comes up every prayer meeting. She shares the same testimony. And the church rejoices with her because you are celebrating poverty. And what you celebrate, you become. Lift up your hand and say, no more. I said, no more. So the religious demons have gotten us in a cycle where we celebrate lack. And we say, well, my God, supply all my needs. And so the begging mentality is greater than the creating mentality in the church. But in the name of Jesus, we break that yoke. We break that yoke over God's church. God's bride does not have to beg, doesn't have to live from paycheck to paycheck, wait every morning for the eagle to bring the bread and the chicken and the fried chicken. God, in the name of Jesus, your bride is coming to another level of abundance for the kingdom's sake. Come on, lift up your hand and say, God, that's me. I claim that right now. The power to loose the armors of king. Number three, he says, I will give you power to open double doors. Gates will never be shut before you anymore. In other words, multiple sources of income. Because I didn't go to Bible school, I didn't know how to be a pastor. I was in the medical profession, traveling the world, in missions, sleeping in the roach-infested, rat-infested places in Africa and Asia, serving God because God told me to go. He wanted me to live with the poor, wanted me to see what a leper colony is, wanting to me to see the vice of poverty so that no lying spirit can tell me poverty is of God. And when I saw the evils of poverty, and then I realized that it was systemic, in other words, built-in poverty, you can't get out of it. The system keeps you there for generation upon generation. I said, now God, since Satan has systemic poverty, use me to create systemic prosperity. In other words, you can't help yourself. You can't help yourself. There is a system that makes you prosper. And so when my church people begin, when I say, God, how do I get them out of poverty as a pastor? Revelation, Deuteronomy 15:4 said, there should be no poor among you. How do I get them out of poverty? God says, get them into land. We started to buy all these multiple houses. Then I say, but God, I need money for my young people because I have a passion for young people and young people don't have any money. And so it's not rocket science. If I want to help the poor, I can't be poor myself. So I'm going to create business. I got involved with real estate. And then from one thing on another, got involved in commodities. And now God has given me the gold. He's given me what I want. He's given me land throughout the nations because I dare go there. I am one of the people that dare go there. I didn't know I shouldn't go there as a pastor. And so I just went there because I wanted to be a solution to the poor. He says, double door, multiple sources of income. I tell people that you don't work for money. And so if you love children like me, your salary is not going to be great. So you don't quit your job just because your salary is poor. If God has called you to be with children, I beg you, the children need you. But your salary is different from your income. Your salary is limited. A nurse works salary different from a doctor. That's your salary. Income is up to you. Income can be millions. It's up to you. You understand what I'm saying? It's up to you. You getting what I'm saying? Lift up your hands and said, I get it. I get it so much. I said, I get it so much. My income is up to me. Say that with me. My income is up to me, and declare, I'm not dying poor. Come on. Come on. Declare it. Somebody give a scream. Demons are screaming out of this place. Demons are screaming out of this place. Hallelujah. Number four, he says, I'll go before you. I'll make the crooked plates straight. In other words, the barriers of yesterday is now your stepping stone into your promise. He said, Joshua, what is before you? He said, the Jericho wall. He said, no, Joshua, don't see Jericho wall. Let me tell you how to move beyond what Moses didn't get. First of all, Moses didn't get into the promised land because he never set the foot of his soul there. Every place you put your foot, you possess. If you just sit and wish and pray and talk and pray God, you'll never possess it. So you can wish and talk about business until you, if you don't step into it, you cannot possess it. So he says, okay, but the wall. No, 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 Joshua, don't look at the wall. See the king dead. See the principality dead. See the enemies already dead. See the negatives that will block you from your next level. See it dead tonight in the name of Jesus, so we don't have to discuss it again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what will block you from your next level of power and possibility and prosperity in the name of Joshua? Joshua, see the king dead. Come on, lift up your hand and see Goliath dead. See Mammon dead. See poverty dead. Come on, see cancer dead. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Rabba Sadara, come on, pray in the spirit right now. See it dead. Cancer must bow. Knees must bow. Tongues must confess. Jesus is Lord. That tormenting spirit must bow. See it dead, Joshua. See it dead. Don't be like Moses. Don't see giants. Don't look at yourself like a grasshopper. You are a giant, Joshua. You can take on that king. It is not by might. It is not by power. I said it's by the Spirit of the Lord. Come on, Joshua. Heaven is getting bored. We want some action. Are you ready, son? Come on, everybody. Say, I'm ready. Say, I'm ready. Number five, he says, I'm going to break into pieces gates of bronze. I'm going to open prison doors. I'm going to, number six, cut bars of iron. I went walking in our city, and you know, we live in Canada, predominantly white, and I went into the prison because I'm into young people and youth, everything, youth. And I'm seeing a lot of young adults in prison, and I'm in a white country, and most of them are black. So I knew that it was not of God, so I declare, I'm going to change that. Everybody tell me, Pat Francis, you can't change the judicial system. But they told me that after I read in my Bible that all things are possible. I am not in a box. I'm in a place where there is unlimited potential. And so my vision, my passion, and my declaration attracted some of the greatest judges and lawyers. And we decide to write that program. That is a replace. We convinced the system that prison is not the answer. Didn't take a lot of convincing. We convinced the judges. And we live to see the day when our program was in place. And the kids can steal and go. And they might have done some drugs or they might have done some stuff. One lady girl was a mule and all that kind of thing. And we took them through the court process. Guilty. Sentenced. 5 years to Pat Francis Church. No more prison. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God says he's going to cut the bars of iron. The church shall be the solution. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The church shall be the solution. And number seven, he says, I'm going to give you treasures of darkness. Hidden riches in secret place. That's just waiting for you. God says, this time, I'm not looking for a Cyrus. I'm looking for a body of Christ. I'm looking for a believer. I'm looking for somebody. He says, I'm going to give you ways. In one week, last week, he shifted my mind that now I know a way that I can get into gold mining without having millions of dollars to put down. Treasures. A mentor to show me how to do it because we are ready. 2 Chronicles 36:23. We're going to close with that and I want you to see it. Because this is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. He said, all the kingdoms of the earth has the Lord your God given to me. I mean, he had charged me, Cyrus, to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is of Judah. In other words, he charged me to build you your church because church people couldn't afford it. He said, all the kingdoms, in other words, education. I mean, Cyrus, I mean, a tremendous testimony. When you get the series, you will hear what this man did. The man was in agriculture. The man was a designer. The man, I mean, incredible. I mean, every kingdom he got involved except the kingdom of Media because they never had media there. He says, God has given, and it's not a boast because it comes to the point where you speak the truth. You're not boasting. I mean, I tell people that I'm a powerful woman. It's not, I'm not boasting. It's the truth. You know what I'm saying? It's the truth. So we got to learn to talk the truth and not accuse. Well, I don't want to be handling. No. Humble is not lying. If God say you're powerful, begin to open your mouth and say, I'm powerful. Let the weak say. Let the poor say. Let the sick say. So then Cyrus say, after he just talked the truth, the man was so powerful. He said, now, who is there among you? Of all his people. In other words, which one of you? Where are you? Which one of you is there among the people? And then he says, may the Lord his God be with him. All of you people, you're Christian tongue talkers. Which one of you here? May the Lord your God be with you and may you go up. What the word up means. Up in your head. To a place of unlimited possibility. So that the next time God is looking for a solutionist, he doesn't have to go and find a pagan because none of us are ready. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I said, King Cyrus, you're not going to embarrass me one more day. I don't think so. I am ready, and I'm taking your anointing, and I'm going to give God all the glory. Are you ready, people? If you're ready, let's stand to our feet right now. Ramakashada, come on, lift up that right hand, just the right hand. See, if you're ready for God to take a hold of you, He has been looking for you. He has been waiting for the foolishness in our life to stop. He's not in any foolish churchianity stuff anymore. Foolish talking, fighting over the color of the carpet, fighting over all this kind of foolishness. He's not into that. He says, if you're ready to go up in your mind, mature church now, kingdomized church. If you're ready to go up, that right hand. And then if you have the faith to believe that God did it before and He can do it again, put the left hand up also. Both hands up. Rabba satara. Now begin to pray in the spirit, because out of your belly is going to flow. Reme. Cyrus anointing. Roshia kareya masundo. Rabba satara. If you're serious. If you love the poor. If you love children. If you love young people. If you have a vision in your heart. If you want to be a solution, you just don't want to talk. But if you're serious, God says nothing can stop you. Moses, your enemies are dead. Your enemies are dead, Moses. Go get my people out of slavery. Come on, people, let your belly cry. Your belly cry. There are children waiting for you. There are young people waiting for you. There are old people waiting for you. There are kingdoms that are waiting for you. Let your belly cry, yes, Lord. Use me, Lord. Prosperity for a purpose. Wealth with wisdom. Use me, Lord. Rabakashara, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Use me, Jesus. Give me a burden. Give me your burden. What do you want me to do? What temple do you want me to build? Rabaseri Abasanda. This is not selfishness. This is not selfishness. This is about the kingdom. Rabane. God of Cyrus, God of Moses, use us to get your people out of slavery. No more slavery. No more slavery in the church. No more slavery in the church. No more slavery. Romane, Yakarabakosono, Yakarabasone, Yakarabasono, Rabakashano.
Come on, let's pray in the spirit a little longer. Come on, we cut through. We're breaking through.